Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's pray together. You open your heart. Ask God to prepare your heart to speak to you, to open up your mind, to open up your heart this morning. Father, I do thank you for the reality, the power of the Holy Spirit in this room this morning. Lord God, he knows every heart, he knows every condition, he knows our past, he knows our future, he knows our present. Lord God, we're serving a God, we're worshiping a God this morning, we're praying unto a God, Lord God, who 2,600 years ago, Lord God, was able to foretell the coming together of Middle Eastern nations with Russia that will one day invade Israel. What a mighty God we serve. We do believe in the power of your Spirit, that you know all things, that you're everywhere, that you're here discerning the intents of the heart. And my God, I do thank you for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And I do thank you for tongues, O God. And I do thank you for all these wonderful blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dealing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8 through to verse 10, we have 9 gifts of the Spirit. We've already dealt with 7 of them. We've looked at the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and faith and the gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy and discerning of spirits. But I want to deal with 2 other gifts, the last 2 out of the 9 here this morning. What are they? They are divers kinds of tongues. Don't just call it tongues. They are divers kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. These are 2 distinct gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we do want to look at them here this morning in the Word of God. We're just so grateful for the Word of God that it does bring a reality, an understanding, and an insight. See in chapter 14 and verse 20, it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Now notice this, in your understanding, in your biblical knowledge of what the Bible says, in your ability to understand what the Bible says, he says, do not be children. In other words, don't be childish. Don't say, oh, I can't learn that, or I don't understand, or that's beyond me. That's being a child. And it's fine for you to be a child. And since if you want to act like a child, we'll have to treat you like a child. That's how this whole thing works. But Paul says, in relation to the gifts, the teaching about tongues and prophecy and the discerning of spirits, he says, brethren, be not children in your understanding. Don't be ignorant. Don't be foolish. Don't just keep saying, oh, I don't know. All you have to do is read this and read it again and read it 10 times and spend an hour over it. And I assure you, it'll begin to dawn. If you hear all the teaching from the pulpit, but you never go and study yourself, you are actually being neglectful. You'll never grow to a man. You'll never grow to a teenager. You'll always be acting like a babe because your understanding will be ignorant about the Bible. You'll always have to come and ask an older believer. You'll always have to ask others. And I believe in asking questions, don't I? And you're foolish if you don't ask questions. But since if you never grow to a place where you understand, I mean after years, if you don't grow in your understanding, you're yet a child. And Paul says, I don't want you to be a children in relation to this. He says, how be it in malice, be ye children. So he says, in your mind, in your understanding, in your study of the Bible, don't be a child. Don't be childish. Don't be acting like a baby. But he says, as far as malice goes, be childlike. be like a child. What's malice? That you do others harm. That you want to strike back. That you want to do something to others. So he's saying, be like a child. Be innocent. Be simple. As far as malice. But in understanding, be men. All of us in this room need to move on from being children. That's a state of ignorance. Yeah. If you find someone who's ignorant about the gifts, or they come in the church and they say, I've got all the gifts and I prophesy and I heal the sick and I've had all my dreams, and they sit down and start spewing it all out, but they can't take correction. That is a child if they are really converted. But at best they're a child. In their understanding, they're childish. They can talk all about the gifts and they claim supernatural things, but they're a child. You actually say, look, do you mind not doing that? We don't know who you are. Who are you? What about your life? Why aren't you talking about Jesus? Why aren't you talking about scriptures in the Bible? No, you're talking about your dreams last night. You're a child at best. If you can't be corrected in that. But Paul says, I want you to grow that in your understanding, you're a man. You're fully grown or you're mature. Let's come to these scriptures here. I'm going to deal with these last two gifts of the Holy Spirit. The eighth gift that we're going to deal with. And it's in verse 10 here, near the end of the verse. And it says, to another, divers kinds of tongues. Notice the same Spirit who gives the other gifts to individuals. It is the same Holy Spirit who gives divers kinds of tongues to certain people in the church. It comes from him. It is his gift to a Christian in the church. Notice what it's called. It's not speaking in tongues. It's called divers kinds of tongues. It's not the tongue that you get at your baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is a gift that is imparted to the church to be operated in our church gatherings. Now let me break this down, what this gift is. Divers kinds of tongues. The word divers there is not in the original. It's been added to give us an understanding. Divers kinds. But notice the word kinds. What does that mean? It actually comes from kin. What's your kin? Your kin's your family. Okay? And it's actually speaking about nations. It's the word genos. Genos, where we get genes from. So he's saying it's kinds of tongues. It's kin of tongues. It's a family of tongues. It's different types of tongues. Not just one. It is diverse, various, different types of tongues in this one gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what it is here. It's many different kinds of tongues, but the same family, the same Holy Spirit. We have one tongue, but out of that comes many diverse, different tongues. That's why your tongue can actually change as you go along. Notice as well, it says kinds of tongues. The word tongues there means glossy. It's language. So it's lots of different types or families of languages. And it's not just a tongue. When we speak about tongues, we're saying it's a language. There are words. There is pronouncements. This is an eloquent, pure tongue. It can change. It is diverse. It is, there's a fullness with it. If you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you in a tongue, it is multi-diverse. It is very technical. There are distinct words and distinct phrases within it. If you find yourself very limited, then have faith. Look to the Holy Spirit of God. But it is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit used in the gathering of believers. Notice this gift is not for your bedroom. This gift is not for you walking up and down the street. Now stick with me, I'm going to explain all this. That might surprise you. This gift is not for you to operate privately, alone, in your bedroom, or in your living room. It isn't for there. It is actually only for the church. This gift is only for the church, and it is to be operated in the midst of the church not to edify yourself, but to edify the church. Now, some of you are already raising questions, but stick with me. I'm going to explain this fully. This is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, diverse kinds of tongues. Don't confuse your tongues. Straight here from the beginning. Stay with me. This is one of the nine gifts given to an individual in the church, not to minister to themselves, but to minister to their brothers and sisters in a public meeting. Notice here, it's from God to the church. It's not from us, from our spirit to God, but it is actually from God to the church. This gift of tongues, this gift in the church is actually how God speaks to the church. Notice there's a type of tongues that is speaking to the church for God. It is God speaking to the church. There is a kind of tongues, and it's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is limited. It is restricted. That diverse kinds of tongues is only for the church, never for private, personal edification. This is a gift of ministry to others, a ministry to the church to edify others. And there's only one kind of tongues that does that, and it's the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. But let's look at tongues in general, because tongues isn't limited to this gift. It is far broader. Tongues is not restricted to this gift of the Holy Spirit, to one of the nine gifts. It is far broader. Listen to what it says in Mark 16 and verse 15. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples at the end of the gospel before he leaves. Listen to what he says. This is the Great Commission, or the commission Jesus gives to his disciples, to his church, to go out and preach. And I want you to notice what goes with the preaching of the gospel. He says in Mark 16, 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's clear. How long does that last? Until Jesus comes again. We have a commission in the church to go preach the gospel. Saints, nobody can say that was only for the early church. Nobody can only say that was for the apostles. They can't say that's only for revival. That's for you and me in every nation, in every generation. Go preach the gospel to every creature. But listen to what it says in verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Notice, certain signs will follow the preaching of the gospel. But if you don't believe, it doesn't mean to be born again. This is us as Christians having faith. If you don't believe, these signs don't follow. If you do believe, these signs will follow. Jesus is saying, go preach the gospel. If you believe, these signs will follow. If you know not faith for them, then they will not follow. What signs are they? What does the word signs mean? And it actually means an indication. You know, in your car, you've got an indicator. Isn't that right? It's an indicator. What's an indicator for? And I'm persuaded 90% of Irish do not know what an indicator is. You move, you slow down, you turn, then you indicate. I'm telling you what I see every single time I'm on the road in Ireland. What's an indicator for? I wish I could tell the whole city this. An indicator, when I put it down, it means I'm going right. When I put it the other way, or put it up, then it means I'm going left. And I indicate before I start slowing down. I had a good trainer, it was my mum. Before you start slowing down, before you start moving, before you start changing direction, you indicate. And that's why they put an indicator on a car, so that you can indicate. Now saints, this word sign is the Greek word for indication. These signs indicate something. In other words, they point you towards something. They're indicators of something. And what is it? It's pointing to the gospel. It's saying Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. We don't look at the signs. The signs point to Jesus Christ. They say he is risen from the dead. Now, what are the signs? Let's look at the signs here in Mark 16. It says, "In my name shall they cast out devils." That can follow if you believe. It says they shall speak with new tongues. Who's it going to follow? Those who believe. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice these are all signs, indicators, pointing to Jesus. Casting out demons, Jesus is real. Healing the sick, speaking with new tongues, taking up serpents or drinking a deadly thing. And you don't go around doing that. It's if it happens and you have faith, it won't touch you, it will not harm you. And all these are signs that there's a real Jesus that we are preaching. This is especially given to the Great Commission. If you'll go preach, you ought to believe for these signs. Why shouldn't you have these indicators? Remember, don't be Irish with your indicator. You want these signs following you. What do? You believe. Lord, you said new tongues would actually follow the preaching of the gospel. What does it mean? New tongues. It means fresh tongues, renewed tongues, a new tongue that you've never had before. Notice who's saying it. Who is saying it? It is Jesus Christ. He is here prophesying what's going to happen in the future, because it wasn't happening when he said it. He is prophesying. He is predicting. He's saying, those who believe, these signs will follow. They will speak with new tongues. Since he was prophesying that his church that preached the gospel, that went into all of the world, not just Jerusalem, all of the world. Some people say it was only for the apostles, only for the church in Jerusalem, only for the first century. No, the Great Commission is for all nations, all people in every generation. And so are the signs, and so are the new tongues. Jesus is promising, not only prophesying, he is promising. And he is also teaching them. He wants them to know, if you have faith, these signs will follow you, and there'll be an indicator that this Jesus is alive and real. Jesus is prophesying, teaching this in order to stir up an expectation. If you don't expect, you don't pray, you don't desire, you don't begin to hunger and thirst, you never grow dissatisfied. Since if these signs are meant to follow the preaching of the gospel, if Christ said it, if he prophesied it, why should we settle for not having them? These signs will follow. And a part of that is the new tongue. Think about it in Acts chapter 20. I'm just giving you the general overview. In Mark 16, it's not talking about diverse kinds of tongues. In Acts chapter 2 and 4, it's not talking about diverse kinds of tongues. Look with me in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And it says, you know this is on the day of Pentecost, when 120 were gathered in an upper room. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them, Mary, the children, old and young, male and female, those in ministry called to preach, and those who were cleaners in the house of God. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen, and began to speak with other tongues. So not only new tongues, there's other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Notice here, they began to speak in tongues. Since if you can wait all day long and say, I'm waiting for God to give me the utterance. The Bible says they speak in tongues. If you don't begin to speak, the Holy Spirit is going to be waiting upon you to open your mouth. You must speak in tongues. But don't go off going, well, just say the first syllable that comes into your mind. Just say the first thing that comes into your mind. That's rubbish. That's trash. Do you know what it says also here? Don't separate these things. As the Spirit gave them utterance. It means to utter forth something you've been given. You give it forth. So we have this unity between man and between the Spirit of God. I know the Holy Spirit has called me to be a teacher, a preacher of the Word of God. I could sit here all day saying, I'm going to wait for you to give me messages if I don't go and study. Oh, I'm waiting for God to supernaturally give all my messages at 3 o'clock in the middle of the night. I'll wake up with it and say, this is the Holy Spirit. Saints, I labored hard over this word to stand here. I spend hour after hour after hour studying to come to bring to you. It doesn't mean it's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working with that study. As I study, He brings revelation. He brings insight. He brings food for you to be fed of. That's how this works. It is the Holy Spirit and man coming together. You need to begin to speak in tongues, but the Holy Spirit gives you something to say. When it says that the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, that they began to speak with other tongues, it doesn't mean a one-off action. Well, they spoke in tongues and that was it. I love the Greek language because it is a whole picture. Within one word, one syllable, within a few words, it paints an entire picture that we don't have in our English language. So when it says they began to speak, in the Greek it actually means they continued. They repeated the action. They'd done it over and over again. It was a habit. After the baptism or the being filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't just do it on that day, at that time, in that building. They actually carried on to speak in tongues. In other words, these new tongues, what does the word new mean? The word new means a tongue you've never spoken in before. Radically different than your own tongue. Nothing like your own native English, Irish, or whatever you want to call it. Some of you, I don't know what you speak, but whatever it is, I assure you, when he says they spoke in other tongues, it was different than Arabic, different than Greek, different than Latin, different than English. They received instantly, supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, a tongue from the Holy Spirit. And notice this, they didn't understand what they were saying. They didn't understand the words that instantly came forth from them. Not Peter, not Matthew, not John, not one of them understood the words that they were speaking. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. It became a habit, but they did not understand it. Now, what was the effect on the crowd? It says in verse 6, they were confounded. Because that every man heard them in his own language. They spoke in tongues. They didn't learn those languages. They had no knowledge of those languages. But there were about 15 different languages that the 120 spoke. They spoke real languages, supernaturally. Yet they didn't know one syllable in those languages. They had never learnt it. They couldn't write it. They couldn't have told you afterwards. They had no understanding. But there was a miracle in this. Notice that they began to speak in tongues. And thank God that their mind didn't get in the way. But they begin to do something they couldn't naturally do. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life and in my life. Notice what the crowd said. They were all amazed and marveled. Look at the impact of this. They started to gather and go, these 120, they are speaking in our language. And it says, behold, are not all of these men Galileans? They're country folk. They speak with a rough dialect. They can't even speak English properly, never mind another language. The Jews from Jerusalem, they would say, man, they don't even speak like us in Jerusalem. We've got to listen very carefully to their dialect, their brogue. They're Galileans. You can always recognize a Galilean's accent. I go, man, you're from Galilee, aren't you? Yeah, I know. I'm sure in Jerusalem they had all of the Galilean dialect jokes that you used to tell and laugh over breakfast. Here, have you heard the one about the Galilean trying to order something over the phone? That's what it was. The Galileans had a brogue. But saints, notice the crowd. Do you realize at Pentecost, 1 million visitors gathered into Jerusalem? They come from all nations over the entire Roman Empire and beyond the Roman Empire. And they gathered into Jerusalem and God pours out His Holy Spirit. Do you know God knows when to pour the Holy Spirit out and when it's going to affect most people and when most souls will be brought in and the time that it's going to make the greatest impact in a city or a town? Don't you think you know what only God knows? on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit's poured out on them. And you know what? They're sitting. It doesn't say they were standing or walking about. It actually says they were sitting there in that room. And the Holy Spirit came with power. I tell you what, they weren't sitting afterwards. That's one sure thing. The whole city began to hear about this. And they were amazed. They marveled. Notice they weren't convicted of sin, were they? Notice they weren't saying, oh, we need to get saved. I want you to notice this was not preaching. It was not supernatural teaching. We don't read that the 120 began to preach to them and they come under conviction of sin. Look at them. They're actually wondering. They're amazed. They marvel. They can't understand it. They begin to gather and they say, how hear we every man in our own tongue? I know that. I know that tongue. I know that tongue. How come they're speaking in my dialect perfectly? He's a Galilean. He's a fisherman. I can tell by the stains on his garments. I can tell by the smell. How is he eloquently and perfectly speaking my language? But notice it wasn't preaching. It says, wherein we hear them. And in verse 11, we do hear them speak in tongues. The wonderful works of God. They were not preaching. You know what they're doing? They're praising God. They're worshiping God. I believe the 120 didn't even know what they were doing. They're there and they're worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and just magnifying them. And these tongues were coming forth and they're saying, you're a mighty God and you're a great God and you do wonders and you heal the sick and you deliver the oppressed and you forgive our sins, and they're worshiping. But it wasn't in their native language. It was in foreign languages they had never learnt once in their entire life. But you know, there were others in the crowd, others mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. Look at the response. Some were amazed. Some mocked. Some said they're full of new wine. Some of them said, what does this mean? How do you explain this? But notice, none of them are crying out for salvation, are they? Not one. Not one of them. What happens next? Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel and said, you have crucified the Lord's Messiah. You nailed him to a tree. You are guilty. It's your sin. And as he begins to preach, it says they are smote to the heart. The tongues didn't do that. The miracles didn't do that. The signs didn't do that. Somebody had to, in their own language, stand up and preach and evangelize. Tongues are not for evangelism. But I can assure you, they are signs along the way. The word utterance, it's the Holy Spirit that gives the utterance. It means clear. It means loud. Oh, we don't believe in loud tongues. Well, the first time they ever happened in the church, they were loud. They were utterances. They were clear. They were distinct. I tell you, you could hear someone speaking in tongues in that gathering. You know these people who say, don't speak in tongues if sinners come in. We've got to ban and restrict tongues. The first time tongues ever happened, there was nothing but sinners. They were all unbelievers and they needed the gospel preached to them. The same happened in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house. They were all sinners there. But tongues was manifest and made evident in a very real way. Notice that they did not preach. Tongues were not given for preaching the gospel or for convicting of sin. That is not their purpose at all. Notice that at Babel, God's judgment scattered all nations by changing their languages so they couldn't understand each other. But when he's birthing the church and bringing forth the church, his church in Acts chapter 2, he unites the entire church with this gift of tongues. It's not going to be around their Judaism or their nationality. This gift of tongues, it gathers and it actually unites them together. First time I was ever in Germany years ago, I was 18 years old. I was going there. I didn't know a word of German. And I'm going there as a stranger. I can remember getting off the plane, getting on the bus. I read the testimony of Reinhard Bonnke all the way to the army camp. I arrived. There's 1,500 guys. I don't know what's awaiting me. I've been told horror stories. All those older subs said, man, do you know what happens when you get to your place? No, what happens? They told me all these false horror stories. And I'm going there, well, I've got Jesus. That's all I know. But I wasn't there a very long time until I wrote to Bonnke's ministry, said, is there a church near my army camp? A guy arrived there, he could only speak German. I couldn't speak German. He couldn't speak English. We sat there, we mumbled, we smiled at each other. I went and bought him a cup of tea. He probably didn't like it because it had no sugar in it. And we're sitting there. So in the end, we give up on the conversation. And he writes a time, a day, and says, you be here, we come, car. That's about the sum total of his English. F that. Well, I turned up, got in the car, none of them speak English, and we go to a meeting, there were thousands there. And as we got into the worship, all of a sudden these thousands of Germans, I'm in a foreign land with a foreign tongue, and all of a sudden they broke forth into other tongues, singing and worshipping and praising God in tongues. And I went, man, I recognize this tongue. It was exactly like my tongue. And I began to worship and praise God in other tongues, and I went, man, Pentecost makes me at home anywhere on the world. If you get amongst real Pentecost, you go, man, I speak like they speak. It unites the church of God. It is so wonderful, so real. You know, in Cornelius's house in chapter 10, it says that the Holy Spirit fell on them and filled them. And it says they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Be very careful of your opinions and ideas of tongues. Tongues is a magnifying of God. Remember what I said about diverse kinds of tongues is God speaking to the church. But what Cornelius got, what happened in the house of Cornelius, they weren't speaking for God to men. They were actually magnifying the Lord. They're speaking in tongues and they're magnifying the Lord. As they were in the day of Pentecost, they're praising, speaking about the one. They weren't preaching. They weren't speaking to men for God. They're actually speaking to God. That's what they're doing in these things. In our world today, there's some 6,909 languages. And if you ever begin to listen to some of those languages, I've been in South Africa. My father-in-law, on our wedding day, best father speech I ever heard in a wedding. He was very nervous, very scared. And I'm going, man, I'm praying for him. I hope he does okay. But he didn't want to give that speech. But he stood up and he went, bah! And he began to speak in Zulu. He was a fluent Zulu speaker. In fact, the blacks who knew him in South Africa, the Zulus, they called him the black white man. That was his nickname. If you heard his voice without seeing his face, you'd say, that's a Zulu. Even the Zulus wouldn't have seen any difference in it. But you know, in the Zulu language, there's clickings. I won't try to impersonate it, but it's click, 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 click. Canis could do it here for you. If you were to hear the language of the Bushmen, you would say, that isn't a language. Those are not sentences. There's no meaning. I mean, at least Chinese, I'm sure it's a language. I don't understand anything. I would never want to learn Chinese. But those Bushmen, when they speak, or some of the Zulu words, you would go, this clicking. Click that way and then you click up a bit and you know what I'm talking about. I tell you, you go, it's confusion. And you know what? People who don't understand tongues, they go, it's confusion. It means nothing. I don't hear anything. It's not even a real language. Be very careful how you judge real Holy Ghost tongues. Be very careful, because I assure you there can be languages that you would never recognize as a distinct language. It happened in Ephesus as well. When the Holy Spirit came upon 12 men, they spake with tongues and they prophesied. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, in the law it is written about tongues. He is just about to give more teaching about tongues, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But yet he goes back to the law and he says, in the law It is written, with men of other tongues, notice that other tongues again, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all of that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Paul quotes this from the Old Testament. Do you realize Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied that God was going to speak to Israel, his people, through another tongue? Other tongues are prophesied in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you of what Paul was quoting. Isaiah 28:11. Listen to it. For with stammering lips. You ever had stammering lips? You know, some people go, man, that's not a tongue, that's stammering lips. You're stammering. When you first get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you first speak in tongues, it is stammering lips. Your lips don't move with everything else. You go, man, there's something trying to come out. This tongue's moving in a way it's never moved before. I'm speaking a language. You know, I lost a tooth, one of my front tooth, some years ago. It was an emergency, almost killed me. My whole body was being poisoned, that one tooth. And you know what? They pulled it out and they made me a teeth plate with one false tooth. It's the only false thing about me, okay? This is my hair, these are my ears, everything else is mine, okay? But that one tooth is a false tooth. But when I put that plate in, I was to go within days to go and preach in Australia. And I put the plate in. I couldn't speak. I actually couldn't. I was, just because of an added plate in my mouth, one tooth, and I got so depressed within the next 12 hours. I went, Candace, how am I going to preach? I can't even speak. I can't even say my name in a way that someone could understand. I'm going to have to relearn to talk purely because I've got a plate in my mouth. Saints, over the next 3 days, I had to get my language back. My tongue, all my faculties, I had to resettle them again to be able to speak clearly and distinctly. Isaiah says that God is going to do something in Israel. I'm going to speak to them with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And listen, to whom he said, concerning this new tongue, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. Notice that these new tongues are going to bring a rest to those who speak in them. It's going to bring rest to those who are weary. It's going to bring you into a rest. These new tongues actually have an effect upon you, that you're brought spiritually into a rest of faith. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Do you realize biblical tongues are to refresh you, to bring you into rest, to satisfy your heart, to quell all your fears and doubts? Now listen to me, what is speaking in tongues? What are tongues? This is my definition. Speaking in a language that you have not learned, that you do not understand, which the hearer, or those who hear, usually do not understand at all, but which on rare occasions is made understandable by the Holy Spirit to those who are listening. Okay, that is the definition of all tongues wherever it is used. But now this gives us a conflict. You see, I'm building you into a dilemma. When you read 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, I'm leading you into something here. Into a conflict. This conflict is all across the church. Written in books. It's preached about. You see, there are those who say in chapter 12:30, it says, do all speak with tongues? No. The answer is no. Hear that. And he's right. This is Paul preaching this. He says, do all speak with tongues? No. They're not meant to. Okay. And I'm going to explain it. But then in chapter 14, verse 5, I would that ye all speak with tongues. In one chapter he says, do you all speak with tongues? Of course not. Of course not. Then in the next chapter he says, but I want you to all speak in tongues. You all can speak in tongues. I desire that you speak in tongues. It's for you all. In chapter 14, 18, he says, I thank my God. He's given praise to God. Man, do you know here, I am so glad I speak in tongues. I want all of you to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, I want you to speak in tongues. That is my desire for you, my prayer for you. I want you to speak in tongues. You know, like I said at the beginning of the meeting, I went to bed very tired last night. I was absolutely dog tired. I fell into bed and I'm just lying there speaking in tongues quietly. And I went, man, that river began to flow. I had to jump out of bed and I put my gown on. I'm tired. It's cold. And I began to pace the floor for the next 30 minutes praying for people in this room. I couldn't help it. I'm lying there. I laughed at myself. I went, man, I'm in bed. I'm not getting out for anything. But when those tongues begin to flow, I do desire that all of you get this. You know, Brother Clendenin, him and Sister Clendenin, the day they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they went to bed that night. He said, man, we didn't sleep at all. We're up praying in tongues, and then she'd be up praying. He said, we just prayed in tongues all night long. There was such an earnest of the Holy Spirit. But notice in chapter 14, 19, Paul has just said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Then he moves on. Yet, got no controversy. I'm building a problem here. I'm showing you something. There's two things going on here. Yet, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul is saying to them all, I wish you all would speak in tongues. Then he's saying, do you know what? I would rather speak five words that you can understand in English than 10,000 words in other tongues. I would rather be here to speak to you in your native language. Since how does all of this fit together? And in chapter 14, 39 says, forbid not to speak in tongues. Many are forbidden today. Don't speak in tongues. Oh, do you know, look at Paul. He said he would rather speak five words than thousands of words in tongues. Hey, calm down, brother. Just speak in your native language. And they begin to forbid you from speaking in tongues. But the same Paul says, do not forbid tongues. He's saying, I'd rather speak in my native language. And yet he's saying, but don't forbid anybody to speak in tongues. What's going on here? You see, there's two different types of tongues. And I'm going to prove it to you. There's personal tongues. And there is public tongues. And if you don't understand this, you'll never understand these verses. Or chapter 12 and chapter 14. What I just told you, I'm about to show you. But if you don't recognize, there's two different kinds of tongues. Listen, what are they? One's personal. One's public. One's Godward. In other words, spoken to God. You're speaking to God. The other is spoken to man. The first is to edify yourself. The other is to edify the church. This is two very different operation of tongues. Now this first one is private. It's personal. It's yours. It's for your own edification or your own operation. In chapter 14, it is always contrasted with prophecy and with the gift of tongues and interpretation. This private prayer, this private worship is different than one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you don't realize that, you'll never understand these chapters. You'll remain a child or a young boy or girl. It says in chapter 14 and 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Hold on, that gift of diverse tongues is to speak to the church and to speak to men in the church, and it's a gift for the church to be used in the church. But why is Paul in chapter 14 saying, no, tongues is not to speak unto men, but unto God? He's speaking about a different private personal tongue that you got when you were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. According to Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 11 and Acts 19, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke forth in tongues. I believe everyone who's genuinely baptized in the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues as a sign, as a witness. But notice we're speaking about two different types of tongue here. And that's what Paul's dealing with. He says, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. You don't understand what you're saying with your private tongues. The tongue that you have personally that is unto God that edifies you, you do not understand it. Neither does anyone else in the meeting. Nobody else understands it at all. But yet, don't say it's of no worth. It says he speaketh mysteries. He speaketh hidden things that God wants to reveal. When he's speaking in tongues, there are mysteries, there are revelations, there are remarkable things that he's speaking. But you don't understand it. Nobody understands it. But in the tongues are remarkable things of magnifying God. There's mysteries. You know what a mystery in the Bible is? We think in our world a mystery is something hidden and you don't find out the answer. That's not it in the Bible. A mystery in the Bible is something hidden that only God can reveal to you and he wants to reveal to you. That's what a mystery actually is. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Verse 5, I would that ye all spoke with tongues. This is personally. This is for your own edification. This is for both privately and publicly. Paul is saying, I want all of you to speak in tongues. I desire that you all speak in tongues. Verse 6, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak unto you either by revelation or knowledge or prophecy or doctrine. He is saying, if I come speaking in those tongues, you won't profit, you won't understand, you won't be edified. You go, man, why is he so happy, excited, jumping, rejoicing in God? I'm sitting here. I don't feel anything. I don't understand him. What's he getting happy about? Man, if only you knew. If only you knew how much tongues edifies your spirit. You would seek after this gift with all of your heart because it edifies. What does the word edify mean? It builds up. It builds you up. It strengthens you. It does something to your inner man. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Notice here when you my spirit prayeth, this is very important what I'm about to tell you. Because there's hundreds and thousands. You know, I've got a collection of books on my shelf and I'll never lend them to you. And it's all about why tongues is of the devil and tongues stopped 2,000 years ago and why we shouldn't speak in tongues. I've got a whole row of them. I love reading them. You know, I've heard every argument against tongues almost in our world, I'm sure. I haven't heard any new ones. And I've looked at them and I've listened to them and I've studied and I've tested them with the word and they drop one by one by one. They're not biblical. Those who are against tongues, against the baptism in the Holy Spirit, actually aren't going by scripture. Now notice with me in verse 14, when you pray in an unknown tongue, what's it speaking about? Tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prayeth. Every time in this chapter we read that the Spirit prayeth, it means praying in tongues. Don't separate that. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prayeth. But my understanding, my mind, my intellect is unfruitful. It doesn't do anything for my mind. It does something for my spirit. Listen to the next verses. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. What's he saying? I will pray with tongues and I will pray with understanding. Since you have to do both, pray with the Spirit, pray in tongues. That is a command. Do you know all this teaching is about when the church comes together in one place at the same time to do the same things. When you come together, he's teaching not about your private times in your bedroom. When you come together, pray with the Spirit. Pray in tongues, but also pray with your understanding. Use your natural mind. If it's all tongues, you're imbalanced. Do you know Wednesday nights in our prayer meeting, if someone's praying, don't pray over them in tongues. Do you know, become sensitive. Be respectful, be honourable. I want to hear what someone, if you can't hear what they're saying, you're praying too loud. My wife tells me all the time, so I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm trying my best by all the grace of God in me. But he goes further, he says, I will sing with the Spirit. What is singing with the Spirit? It is singing with tongues, with new tongues, with this gift that you have from the Holy Spirit. And I will sing with my understanding also. We're meant to mix our worship. Saints, let's have faith. It's a beautiful thing when a whole congregation, like I said in Germany, when thousands began to worship God in other tongues, and I went, man, this is wonderful. And I began to sing in tongues, and I'm edified. I'm edified, beautiful. But saints, we need faith, we need to believe what it says. Also notice you bless with the Spirit, or you can bless in tongues. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanks. Notice when you bless with the Spirit, there's a way when you're blessing, you're giving thanks. And it says when you do that in tongues or in the Spirit, nobody else can say amen. That means they believed in amen.
Amen.
Amen. So they said if he was praising and giving thanks or blessing someone, we could all say amen. But he says, how do you do that when you're speaking in tongues? I don't understand them. So he says, it's both. We bless in the Spirit and we bless in our native language. We want to mix it so that your mind can enjoy the blessing of this as well as your spirit. It's both coming together. For thou verily givest thanks well. Notice Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 concerning speaking tongues in the church. He didn't say, you're wrong, stop all tongues in the church. He doesn't say that. He says, but the other is not edified. He says, you verily give thanks well. Guys, when you speak in tongues and you bless and you pray in tongues, you do give thanks very well. But let's face it, any sinner who walks in this door, and any Baptist, I mean unlearned, who walks in the door, They're actually, it's not going to have an effect on them. Not at all. So we need to balance the natural with the supernatural. And praying with your mind, praying in your language, is not less spiritual. It is spiritual. Don't think that this is better than this. No, it takes both. Someone who only prays in tongues and looks down on those who don't speak in tongues, you're actually proud. You're a child. You're a child with a gift. Ever seen a child with a gift that won't share? Well, that's wonderful. You've got a beautiful toy. But that's your toy. That's very obvious. And you're not going to share it. And you don't care about any other kids in the place. But saints, with these gifts, we consider one another. We actually think of one another. We don't neglect prayer in the Spirit. We don't neglect prayer in our native language. We've actually got to balance it both. Serve a purpose, both in private and in public. When you're alone, don't just pray in tongues. Pray with the understanding as well. But saints, I tell you that praying in tongues is a wonderful thing indeed. In chapter 14, 23 of this, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. Unlearned. What is unlearned? The word means untaught. Untaught in one way. Untaught about Christ? No. Untaught about the Word of God? No. Or the blood? No. Or creation? No. but about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If somebody comes into our church, we're all gathered in one place and we're all speaking in tongues together. I mean, every single one of us, and we're praising and we're praying and we're blessing and we're having a great time. But somebody walks in who does not believe in tongues, believes there for 2,000 years ago, or is utterly ignorant about it, or is against it, they'll think you're mad. It also says if an unbeliever comes in and you're all, notice he says all, you're all speaking in tongues, he'll think you're mad. Happened on the day of Pentecost. These guys are drunk. They're crazy. They're stoicious. Why? They're speaking in tongues. But you know what? Still happened on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? Paul is actually saying here, if the unlearned Baptist, unlearned, or the unbeliever, the unsaved, come into a meeting, they will think you're mad. But if all prophesy, their hearts will be convicted. That'll happen to the evangelical who doesn't believe in the gifts that have not been taught right. And they come in and somebody begins to prophesy. I'm telling you, their heart can be searched in that environment. Whereas if you speak in tongues, they'll say you're crazy. Or a sinner comes in, a prophecy can convict the heart. Whereas tongues will say you're mad. What's he jabbering on about? You sound like a Bushman or a Zulu. I'm sure I do. But at least that's a language I can assure you of. Saints, what is the gift of diverse kinds of tongues? I've given you the overall picture. I've drawn a distinction. You praying, edifying yourself, praying unto God, or worshipping God, that is not this gift. You say, man, after all that, what is the gift then? Listen to what it is. It could be that God supernaturally moves in a meeting and makes your tongue into an actual language. Brother Clendenin had this happen many years ago. He and Sister Clendenin flew into Armenia. They told us this sitting in my mother's living room. They flew into Armenia, into a little village, and they're praying for these handful of people. And there's a little boy there being raised by his grandmother and his mother. And as they pray for him, I think he was about 10 years old or 9 years old, he doesn't know any language apart from his own. He doesn't know a word of English. And they begin to pray for him for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he lifts his little hands and he begins to speak forth in new tongues. Do you know what it was? It was perfect English. Both of them there, Sister Clendenin, she said it was perfect, beautiful English, praising the Lord. And we're standing there amazed. And we asked the grandmother and the mother and other. They didn't know. They're working through translators. And the little boy doesn't know he's speaking English. He doesn't have a clue. He thinks he's speaking in tongues. Or do you remember Sister Linda from Berlin? Who was here a few months ago. She was here on the Sunday, or for a few days. She met with us. She's been here several times. Sister Linda in Germany. Many years ago, I went to Germany. And I arrived there, I'm going to preach all week. And on the first Tuesday morning, I'm in a prayer meeting. And all those in the prayer meeting gathered around me to pray for me to preach that night in the meeting. And as they begin to pray, now Linda at that time, she spoke Russian as her first language, German as their second language. And you can ask, there were numbers of people there who can verify this. So Russian is her first language. German is her second. She doesn't know English. I couldn't communicate basic things with her. Her English is very good now. But she was standing there. And as we're praying, they're praying for me, hands laid on, praying in tongues, praying for me. And all of a sudden she starts thinking, her thoughts are utterly distracted. And she goes, why is Gabby, one of the ladies, why is she praying for Keith in German? He doesn't understand German. He doesn't know any German. And her mind gets vexed. And her mind's utterly distracted. Notice her understanding. And her mind goes, why is she doing this? Keith cannot understand. Do you know what happens at the exact same time? And all those there are a witness to it. She suddenly starts speaking it or praying in perfect English for me. She doesn't know English. She can't speak English. She thinks she's continuing to pray in her own tongues. But her mind, I believe it was God, distracted her. And here come out of her. And to this day, I can remember that prayer. I know what she prayed for me. Exactly. I've still got the words here of that beautiful prayer. I didn't know her at that stage. I thought, well, just a girl nicely praying for me in English. God bless you, sister. Thanks a lot. All the rest are there in awe. They all know her. Man, we're trying to get her German perfect. She doesn't know English. Even her German had to be learnt. Saints, I'm telling you, real situation. I believe that that is a part of divers kinds of tongues. Do you think that edified me? It did. Do you think that ministered unto the church there? It did. I tell you, they come to the meeting that night with faith in their hearts. They say, boy, if the Holy Spirit's doing this in the prayer meeting, God has something to speak to us tonight. It is so real. You see, speaking from God to man is this gift. It's God revealing himself. It's a message to the church. It is a flowing forth of the Spirit. Saints, there's not only praying in tongues. There's not only singing in tongues. There's not only blessing in tongues, but there's also speaking in tongues, bringing forth a message from God. And it's for us in this church where the Holy Spirit comes on you and you get an utterance in tongues. And how would you know it's from God for the church? You have a message, but it's in tongues. No one can understand it, but it is a message. It's not praise, it's not prayer, it's not worship. It is actually a message for the church. And when that unction comes on you from the Holy Spirit, you speak out those tongues. You actually give that message like you would a prophecy. You speak forth as the Holy Ghost gives you that utterance. That is this gift, not only in known languages, but here in the body with a message for the church. But it must be interpreted. Notice this tongues needs interpreted. We don't interpret your prayers. Neither do we interpret singing in tongues. That would be foolish. It's only this message in tongues that needs interpreted in the church, in the body. It's not your private tongues. Saints, this is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's different than normal tongues. Actually, radically different. It says in chapter 14, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. If you pray in tongues, give a message in tongues, pray that you interpret. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. Notice, since these things you can control them. We're not looking to grieve the Holy Spirit. But it actually says only two or three messages in tongues and interpretations. In other words, if two or three were given in a meeting and all of a sudden you get a message in tongues, sit quiet. Hold your tongue. Oh, but I can't help it. Yes, you can. And if you break that order, I'll say, brother, sit down. Why? Because the Bible, we respect the Word of God here. There is an order, but we're not going to limit the Holy Spirit, you know. We're not going to either extreme. We want a beautiful balance. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. These are powerful verses, you know. You're to look around. If you get a message in tongues, and I know if you're starting out in this, don't you worry. But when you become mature and we function in these gifts, and you get a message in tongues and you're going to give it, if you're a member of that body, you're to look around and say, where's Brother Jimmy? He interprets tongues. He actually has the gift of interpreting tongues. Where is he? And if he isn't there, keep quiet. And if he is there, then go ahead and give your message in tongues. Saints, you operating in the gifts doesn't mean you cut your head off or you switch your brain off or you don't use your intellect. You do use your intellect. Since all of this actually goes together. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Where? In the church. Where? In the church. Speak to himself in tongues and speak to God in tongues. But don't give that message. Let me finish here with the ninth gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's very connected to the previous. The ninth, to another, the interpretation of tongues. This always follows after diverse kinds of tongues. There is first a message in tongues, then there's an interpretation of tongues given publicly. If you give a message in tongues in the church, nobody understands it, neither do you, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. And you've got to pray that you can interpret. If you give a message no one interprets, pray that you can interpret. But if someone gives a public message, somebody has to interpret it. These two gifts always operate together. Never separate them. They're equal to prophesy. Someone stood and prophesied, it's the same. So why have this that's so similar to prophecy? Why have tongues and interpretation? There is a reason. When someone gives a message in tongues and sings, I've seen it operate, I've seen what it's like, it immediately calls our attention. God is about to bring a word or to speak to us, an interpretation. It calls us to attention or to quietness or to stillness or a preparation to hear what he's about to say. It's like me banging on something and saying, hey, get ready to hear the message. That's what the tongue is, and we recognize, we go, this isn't praying in tongues, this isn't worship in tongues, this isn't blessing, this is a distinct message, and someone's going to interpret after it. And notice it's interpretation of tongues, not interpretation. It's not interpretation, it's interpretation of tongues. It's only for interpreting the gift of tongues. That's what it actually is. What does interpret mean? Explain fully. Notice it's not translation. I like the King James because it's a translation. A word for word, exact translation. But interpretation is not translation. If you go to some countries, I'll say five words and they speak three sentences. I've had this. I've been going, man, are they adding stuff to my sermon? Are they putting stuff in there? And I asked this translator, and he says, well, I'm interpreting. I didn't use your amount of words, but I'm explaining. I'm trying to give the understanding of it. It's to expound. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you, this is a church service, okay? Every one of you hath a psalm, or hath a doctrine, a teaching, a doctrinal teaching, or has a tongue, not prayer, not worship, a message in tongues, or has a revelation, or has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. When you come together, someone comes and says, I've got a psalm I want to read. Think it was Brother Jeffrey this morning. Man, I want to come and read this. And then someone's got a doctrine. Amen, I've got the doctrine here this morning. Hope you're less confused than more confused by the end of this. We'll have questions later if you're not. Saints, when we come together, someone's got a tongue, someone's got an interpretation. These are all gifts to add to our service. They're not here yet, but let's pray them in. Yes. Listen to this, chapter 12, 28. And I'm going to leave you with one last dilemma and answer your problem for you. Chapter 12, 28. And God has set some. We've been dealing with the nine gifts. It's for all the members of the body. The gift of diverse tongues is for some. Listen to it. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Hold on, he's saying he has set some like apostles and teachers and prophets. But here's somebody. Listen to what I'm saying. This is no longer just a gift that somebody operates. It's not just miracles. God has also set some in the church who are called miracles. What does that mean? They actually operate in the gift of miracles to such a degree. It's obvious they have a ministry to the church. It's not just operating in a gift once in a blue moon. But now they are miracles set into the church. Then gifts of healings. Notice this is more than just the gift. This is a man or a woman who is remarkably used in healings. And they're said into the church. Notice further, it says helps. Where's the helps? Helps have been set in the church. Governments have been set in the church. And notice this, diversities of tongues. Do you see this? That the tongues here is a ministry. It's not your personal tongue. When they say, all do not speak in tongues, make a difference between these two and you'll never get confused. If you join them together, you'll never have an answer.
Yeah.
Let's go further as I close. These are ministries set in the church. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are they? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Is he talking about the gift or the ministry? The ministry. Because the gift of miracles is for everyone. But here he's saying about a person who is set in the church. The nine gifts aren't set in the church. It's a man, a member, a person. So this person called a worker of miracles, he's in the church. Do all work miracles? No, absolutely not. Could any of you work miracles? Yes. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Do you know what he's saying? We don't all operate in giving messages in tongues or interpreting tongues. We don't. We don't all. But saints, it's different when he said, I would that ye all spoke in tongues. I wish you spoke in tongues as much as me. Let me just close here with this interpretation of tongues. I had a friend from the north, a guy who was saved out of drugs, criminal acts and terrorism. And he was sitting in his prison and the Lord came to him, saved him, restored him, brought him back to salvation. But he was mightily used in preaching the gospel, in healing the sick. And he began to travel many different nations. He was much younger than me now. He was in his early 20s, I think. And he began to travel many nations. He had a remarkable preaching ministry, a remarkable ministry in moving in the Holy Spirit. But he got to one of the Eastern Bloc countries and he was there with a group of ladies. Unknown to him, those ladies were using his gifts. They were gathering the money. They were getting all the contacts. They all spoke in a foreign tongue. And this particular day, he's sitting in a room with all of them speaking in their own dialect. And he is there as the young preacher. They're using him. But he doesn't know it. He's got a pure heart. And as he sits in the room, they're sitting all around him. And those ladies, they're ladies. And they start to talk about him. And all of a sudden, as he sits here, he told me it himself. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moved on him. And instantly he could understand everything they were saying and talking about him and what they were planning. I tell you, saints, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's sitting there and he let it carry on for a time. Then he stopped him. He says, I know all that you're saying. He said, what do you mean? You're talking about me. No, no, we're not talking about you. He says, the Holy Spirit's told me everything you say. And he started to tell them. Their mouths dropped. They've got all the money. He doesn't have a penny. Not a penny in his pockets. They've got all the schedule, all the plans, all the tickets, everything. And he's there. And he says, man, that's me out of this mess. They were using me. But do you know what? He doesn't have a penny. But his Uncle John, who was a close friend of ours, 1 week before the Lord spoke to him, and he went into his dad, and he said, you know what? He's in trouble. He's going to be in trouble. We need to send him money so he can get back home. This is a week before this. And the next day, that was one day. The next day, a letter arrives with him with all the money to fly back to Belfast. Saints, I'm telling you, real gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or let me finish with this last of the last ones as we close our gathering. Douglas Scott was a young preacher, English preacher, living in London. In 1927, he was saved 2 years. He got saved through street preaching in London. I believe That happens today, okay? Douglas Scott was walking along the street in London and someone's preaching and he got born again. Then he went back and started handing out gospel tracts there. Every day for the next 2 years, he's on the streets evangelizing. Well, he went to a convention, a meeting on a Friday night in London. And he's there worshiping, praising God like everybody else. And all of a sudden, the man, Howard Carter, who was overseeing the meetings, gave a message in tongues. He wasn't praying in tongues. He wasn't worshiping in tongues. He gave a message in tongues and everybody becomes silent. In the whole place, there are about 1,000 there. And they become silent, waiting for the interpretation. Then another brother, another man stood up and gave the interpretation. And the message was actually for Howard Carter, how God was about to use him. And the Lord was saying, step out in faith, take one step at a time, and I'm going to bless you and use you. He became the greatest missionary to France. Remarkable ministry. So in his heart he goes, amen, I know that word's for me. Then all of a sudden, a man at the back of the room stood up. A university professor from the Birmingham University. He stood up and he said, excuse me, can I say something? I want to testify. Howard Carter said, sure, brother, are you saved? You know the Lord? Yes, I want to give a testimony. He said, I come to this meeting, I'm born again, I love Jesus, I love the Word of God, but I had my doubts about tongues. I just wasn't convinced. I doubted about them. I wasn't sure if it's the devil or man or God. And he says, I come in here with many questions saying, I don't know what to make of all this. And he said, then the message in tongues was given. He said, I am a professor of Arabic in the University of Birmingham. I study all the old writings. And he said, that man who stood spoke perfect Arabic. Wow. Absolutely word for word. But he said, that isn't all. He said, over here, another man stood and gave the interpretation. He gave a very accurate, good translation of that message in Arabic. And he said, this night I'm convinced that this tongues and interpretations is supernaturally of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine young Douglas Scott saved 2 years sitting in that meeting, who's already received a message in that tongues interpretation? He knows it's for him to go to France. Can you imagine knowing that it was Arabic translated? You're going, this is God. He went to France. And since his French was terrible, terrible, people used to come to the meetings to laugh at him because his French was so bad. And in the meeting, they'd bring their family, say, come on for the night. Let's go listen to an Englishman who can't speak French. And they'd be laughing, but they would get convicted in their heart and they were getting born again. And a church of 40 people grew within 2 years to a church of 1,000 people. And he started to pray for the sick the first week. And immediately mighty, unbelievable, remarkable miracles. I could give you an hour of testimonies of Douglas Scott. But this is what I want to leave you with. Douglas Scott, just 2 years after reaching France, had a family come into his church. A young teenager and the family, they all got born again. The young teenager later grew to be a preacher and went out in ministry. In about 1956, I think it was, that young teenager, saved through Douglas Scott, started a ministry in France to the gypsies called Light and Life. And they baptized, they had a revival and seen 3,000 people born again. Baptized in water, and that revival has swept through to Britain, and we're praying that it comes into the travellers in Ireland. But that's where it began. I'm giving you the genealogy. A young man in London, standing, 2 years saved, and that supernatural operation of tongues and interpretation transformed his life, and he said, I am called, and I'll step out in faith, and hundreds of churches come out of that. In many different nations. When Douglas Scott got to the last year of his life, he was about to come to Ireland. because God used him in Catholic countries and he seemed remarkable where no one else had success, and he was just about to come to Ireland and the Lord took him. Time to see some Douglas Scots raised up, praying people. Amen. Stand with me.